Our text words for tonight are out of Proverbs 30, and particularly the last three verses of two verses that we read. Let's reread verse 8 and 9, the prayer of Agur. Remove from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor, and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. So far the text words, and I tie them in with what previously is written in this chapter, because they are kind of tied together to this very striking prayer day petition. I mean, what do you pray on a day like this when we stand before the season? As we think about our work, we think about our income, think about our families and needs. And particularly because our hearts are covetous, and because we have an evil tendency to desire the vanities, what do you pray then? And then we find in this particular man, Agur, a tremendous spiritual gift. Something like what we just sang together. That's what the poet sang. Thy loving kindness is more than life to me. Life, the good things of life, the health, the family joys, the prosperity. Thy loving kindness is more than life to me. And that gives us a direction, isn't it, tonight? Now, who is this Agur? No idea. He's an unknown man to us. He thinks himself stupid. That's the word Brutus. Verse 2, notice. I'm more Brutus than any man. I don't have any understanding, he says. This is amazing that the wisest people always call themselves Brutus or foolish or stupid. I mean, who is one of the wisest scientists? It's Isaac Newton. And then he said that my wisdom is nothing more than picking up a pebble on the shores of the ocean. That's all I have ever done in my life, he said. That's an amazing humility. There's no saint like the Apostle Saul, Apostle Paul, and yet he says, I'm the least of all saints. So you notice these men who are stars, who are great in wisdom and great in holiness, are very humble men. Agur is too. Because he is not as foolish in my eyes, and hopefully not in yours and ours, as he appeared in his own eyes. Yeah, we'll pick up some enriching reflections this evening on this prayer of Agur. But how did he stay so humble? How did he stay in verse 2? How do you stay like that? Especially when you are a very skilled man. And he was, as the rest of the chapter really indicates. And the way to stay humble, friends, is not to compare yourself to the one who knows a little less than you. But perhaps to compare yourself to the one who knows a little more than you. To stay humble is not to compare yourself to the one who is a little less godly, but to the one who is more godly. And ultimately what Agur does, he compares himself to God. Because notice in verse 3 or 4, he meditates on the Lord. Who has ascended up on high? Who is the Almighty? And so if we want to stay humble like this man, we need to continually measure ourselves to God Himself, to His holiness and His wisdom. And then perhaps you'll stay by Agur a little more and a little longer. As he says, I am but a brutish man and a man of no understanding. Yet, as we look at this prayer in verse 8 and 9, he proves to be a man of incredible deep spirituality and wisdom. Because the prayer that he, by the Holy Spirit's teaching, undoubtedly may pen down here for our learning, is extremely worthwhile for us to make our own as we begin and ponder about our next months and season. Also, look at this prayer. This prayer shows very great thoughtfulness and depth. Yeah? And before I look at the prayer, it is not unconnected from what lays before it. Yeah? When he is in verse 4, meditating, he is in verse 8 and 9, praying. Instead of rushing into prayer, let's stop and meditate. One of the great Puritans, Lewis Bailey, says, prayer, reading and meditation are the parents of prayer and worship. Reading and meditation. And notice that Eger actually mostly in this verse refers to the book of nature again. Look at verse 4. He's looking at the book of nature. And he's meditating on what he sees and observes in connection, of course, with what he gets to in his prayer, because he's thinking about food, he's thinking about drink, he's thinking about the things he needs, and he connects it to what is going on in nature around him. He is realizing that there is a God in heaven who is controlling the food and the drink and the agencies that supply our basic needs. And what are those agencies? Well, they're in verse 4. That's a combination of three things. It's the earth, it's the water, and it is the wind. And let's start on the last one he mentioned. It's the earth, which is the breadbasket. Out of the earth, God supplies us our food. And whether we are farmer or no farmer, we're going to eat what comes out of the earth and what is produced by the earth. And without that, no one of us going anywhere. It is the earth, which is God's breadbasket. And so he says, who has established all the ends of the earth from which we get our food? Now, what will the earth do without water? We'll have a drought. And if it stays away long enough, there'll be no water inside the ground to pump up anymore either. So the earth is only going to be producing if there is enough water. And sunshine, of course, the combination of the two. But how does that water of the ocean come to us? The ocean holds its water in its own gravity. How is it getting to us? And besides, we don't want that ocean water on our ground. It's like Roundup. That comes in the agent that God has created. It's the wind. It's the wind that makes and moves the cloudy chariots that brings the water of the ocean onto our fields. See, so these three combined that Eger sees are God's hands and handiwork to provide us our food and drink. Now, obviously, the book of nature is somewhat limited because he's asking himself in verse 4, well, what is God's name and what is the sun's name, if thou canst tell? Well, you can't tell from the book of nature. You can tell there is a God, but you can't tell his name. You cannot find a revelation of his son's name. And so he comes to verse 5 and he says there's another book which speaks about God, and that is the book that we are looking at tonight. Every word of God is pure. And these meditations on God's goodness in the book of nature and the book of Scripture stirs him to prayer. Now I skip a few verses to go to verse 8 and 9. What a wisdom in that prayer. Remove from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. You know, this shows that this man knows of grace. I don't think anybody of us are going to hesitate to join him in the prayer, Lord, please spare me from poverty. You don't need grace to pray that. In our heart is this vanity and this desire for materialism and this desire for riches that I don't think any of us is praying, please, Lord. Or is not praying and joining in the first part of the prayer, give me neither poverty. But how many of us will pray this season, Lord, please don't make me rich. Honestly, uprightly, don't make me rich either. And that's the sublime beauty of this spiritually or spirit-inspired prayer. Give me neither poverty nor give me riches, but give me, O God, what is convenient for me. And who knows what is convenient for this man? Not Agar, and not you and me. It is our Creator who knows what is convenient, what is exactly fitting for us. Yeah, pray, feed me with food that is convenient for me, is the prayer. Lord, whatever is needful in my personal circumstances, my family circumstances, in whatever I have as a task in my life, feed me with exactly what I need. Not more, not less. No poverty, no riches, but just enough. I think that is the prayer for tonight. Because neither you or I can handle anything else, but what is just enough, even that we need grace to handle. And so, for this evening, friends, the Holy Spirit is giving us this direction for our prayer life in this coming season that, of course, in some way we have started, but now as the spring really gets underway, it's give me neither riches nor poverty. So Agar says to God, Lord, I know thou art the best judge of what I and my dependents need. And of course, that all depends. God knows that maybe my circumstances are different than yours. So don't measure each other. Let God do the measuring. Let God knows what we need. Maybe God knows we need some poverty. Maybe He knows we need some drought this year. To cure us a little bit more. Maybe He knows that your last season has been very difficult. And maybe He knows you need a little bit more to offset the debts that you may have created. Yeah, I do not know your circumstances. God knows. And therefore, this prayer is so fitting. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with food convenient for me. Basically, this prayer is the Lord Jesus' fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer. Give me this day my daily bread. What is suitable. Now lastly, this prayer aims at godliness. What is now the purpose that he prayed this? And that comes to my last thought here, is that Agar's deepest motive is that he is dreadfully afraid to sin. It characterizes his spirituality. He says, oh God, give me what is necessary. And be thou the judge, for thou knowest what this man can handle. And he can't handle much. Therefore remove from me, look in verse 8, vanity and lies. If he needed the poverty nor the riches, lest I sin, verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee, lest I am rich and have oversupply and have more than I need, and I deny thee, and I forget thee, and I become proud, and I become covetous and vain, and I forget thee, that all these things have not come by my wisdom and by my skills and by my resources and by my that have come from thee. See, he's very afraid that he sins against the Lord. On the other hand, Lord, also keep me from poverty, lest I go into stealing mode and begin to take thy name in vain. He dreads wealth and poverty as it might serve him to help or hinder the progress of his walk with God. I just love this prayer. Well, friends, as we look at this next season, we think, it would be nice if the spring continues to go like it has been going now. And that will be a good paycheck for the farmers, perhaps. Or maybe those who are not in the farming and struggling with the economy and with the jobs and whatever, maybe little pinches that we feel in the economic recession that we're still struggling with, may say, "Ah, Lord, I hope that things are going to clear up a little bit more." Now, let's not pray that. Let's make this our prayer. Feed me with what is convenient, what I need. Keep me, Lord, right there where Thou know I need to be. Whatever is good for me, give that to me. Remove from me any temptation to vanity, but also any temptation for lies. Because the dangers in these extremes are grave. Pride, rich, dishonest when poor. I could cheat on my taxes. Or maybe I can withhold a little bit more of what belongs to the Lord because I've got these bills to pay. And I withhold the tithes and the offerings from the storehouses of God. This can be a real temptation. But that's robbing God. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. So you see, this is the balance that this man struggles with, and therefore he commits it all at God's feet and says, "Lord, please give me neither riches nor poverty, so that I may walk in all godliness." So ultimately, congregation, it's a prayer that we read elsewhere. "Hi, Sam. Nice to see you." This is the prayer that we need to pray together. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things that here also this Agar is thinking about is going to be given to us." And so, friends, I think this is a wonderful prayer for us to adopt as we begin this new season. And you know, if this is our prayer, then notice what happens. Verse 5 will be a reality. What says verse 5, the last part? "God is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." That's a precious promise. That those who now commit themselves to the Lord and put their trust in Him, saying, "Lord, whatever comes my way, whatever Thou seest fit, keep me from either extreme, keep me also in the middle, wherever I need to be." Friends, that jealousy of the godliness that Agar had in his heart comes back in this promise. God says, "I will be a shield unto those that put their trust in me." Yeah, He will either keep us safely in the center, where we need to be, or He will keep us safely on the fringes, in the riches or the poverty, because God can keep them both. Job was an extremely rich man, but it didn't seem to impinge his godliness. So God can keep us there as a shield. But as long as this is the attitude, "Lord, I'm not striving for either one. I'm striving at Thy feet that Thou would give me what is convenient for me." May God bless us with that spirit of prayer and mind of Agar. Let's sing together as we stand, Psalter 325. And we'll sing all 4 verses. 325, "Teach me, O Lord, Thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart."
in our prayers tonight, we'll first focus on the needs that have been suggested and asked for that deal with our country and the dire needs that our society and our fellow man faces. And then in the second part of the prayer, let's then also bring our needs, our personal, family, school needs, to the Lord in prayer. As we seek Him, let us do so in a united way. And how do you now pray along in a public prayer, children? You can, of course, not do that audibly. But when I hear someone else pray, the way that I don't get distracted is I repeat what Elder Avis just said. I just repeat it in my mind. I says, "Yes, Lord." Participate that way. That's how you are to participate in public prayer. It is our prayer, not just my performance. It's our prayer. And so at the end of the prayer, I invite you to say your amen as well. That's a very fitting way of saying to the Lord, "What I have said, Lord, and what we have said together, this is also my petition." It's a united prayer. So let's pray together. Lord, we have come in this hour together with the express purpose also to be instructed from the Word, but also to be together in prayer. And the portion of Scripture that we have used this evening to search Thy direction for prayer has given us also this direction already, Lord. Pray to Thee, who art a great Creator, the Almighty Provider, who holds the wind in Thy fists, as the Provider of the rain upon the fields, so that also our means can be growing and provided for in Thy gracious providence. And we thank Thee, Lord, that we may come before Thee and that we may bring our petitions before Thee tonight, not because we are worthy to receive any blessing, but because Thou art the God who urges us to call upon Thee in the day of trouble and of need. And Lord, what is that special? What art Thou special? Thou art so worthy of all our trust and devotion. For all we do as fallen men is to grieve Thee and to offend Thee in our thoughts, in our deeds, in our words. And still Thou hast opened Thy bountiful hand in giving us daily of providential mercies, each of them totally undeserved. Every crust of bread has the word grace on it. And Lord, will Thou teach us more to see it that way, humbling our hearts, overwhelming us with an impression of how good Thou art to a people like we are. And here, even in Thy Word, Thou invites us to cast our self-made and self-caused burdens upon Thee. For Lord, ultimately, everything we suffer, it is because of our deep and rebellious rising up against Thee. And it is because of our sin that there is also in this world so much pain, suffering, destruction, darkness. We acknowledge Thee, Lord, as the God of grace, but also the God of power. And we pray that Thou enable us to lift our needs before Thee. And we beg Thee to answer us graciously. And a variety of needs have been identified in our meditations prior to this hour. And Lord, we cry to Thee for the children and the young people of our nation. As more and more it becomes evident and open how many children are physically and sexually abused and violently neglected in so great dysfunctional families. And dear Lord, we know that these children have no defense as the young and vulnerable and lonely. And thousands are twisted in their youth. And we pray Thee this evening, feeling powerless in our own self, Lord, to change these dramatic social ills that plague our country. Many take their life weekly. Weekly they are delivered in the hospital in Masterton. Many fail to do in the attempt to take their lives. But we know, Lord, there are deeply, deeply troubled young people. And we just lay that need before Thee tonight, asking Thee to bless those agencies and people that are committed to help with wisdom, with the resources, with the support that they need to prevent these abuses of these precious young lives. And that's not only true in this country, Lord, it is all over the world where children are becoming the victims in their youth and in their vulnerability. And it is this cry that we want to lift up before Thy throne, Almighty God, that Thou wilt indeed arise, that Thou wilt come to the aid of these atrocious practices. And then we cry to Thee, Lord, that Thou wilt turn the cycle of drugs and alcohol, which spawns so much destruction and violence and abuse. And we know people are searching for help and are reaching out to the wrong things. They are hurting and seeking for pain relief. They are lonely and they're seeking for companionship. Lord God, we pray this evening that Thou wilt indeed fill them with the Spirit. Thy word says somewhere, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that is the only cure and the only hope for our country and for the nations in this world. And therefore, Lord, we plead that Thou would breathe Thy Spirit on us now, and that Thou would move not only us while we are praying here, but Thou would move into our society as that irresistible and saving power of Thy grace, touching lives, changing hearts, coming to the restoration of sinners in that relationship with Thee, letting them know, Lord, that there is grace. We pray that Thou would bless every avenue in which Thy word is shared or witnessed or distributed, from out of our own self, but also from others within this nation. Bible in schools in various places in this country. The drop zone work in our place, but also other youth outreaches, Lord, in this country. Fresh perspective. We pray for the house of grace. We pray for those in the prison ministries, with this large population of people that also are hurting and without hope and without Christ. Pray for the Voice for Life, the Life Choices, the Lifeline, the Book Tables, and whatever other avenue. Bless Thou it, that so Thy Word and Thy Spirit may come to bring hope and healing in the lives of broken people. And will Thou arm every warrior, Lord, in Thy kingdom with the unction of Thy Spirit, that so the gates of hell be burst through, that the gods of materialism, selfishness, humanism and atheism may be cast down like a Dagon was cast to the ground by the presence of the ark. O God, so will Thou today arise. We are battling against Jericho walls, but Thou hast
Thou hast said, Lord, we are to trumpet forth the word, and we pray that Thou would use Thy church in New Zealand to that end, making faithful the sound of the trumpet, that the messages of righteousness may again sound forth into this country also. And Almighty God, Thou hast made stable families the cornerstone of our society. And as the poet said, if those foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And therefore we come before Thee this evening, that Thou wilt not allow these foundations to be destroyed even more, as now the prince of darkness is seeking more destruction in the family life by redefining marriage in this country. O Lord of the creation, extend Thy hand of power. Overthrow Thou the wicked counsels and empower every organization and every individual that in these last weeks will bring in submission to that committee, that Thou, O God, will make those submissions to have such power that the minds may be changed and that this whole effort may be buried. O, we beseech Thee, O God, open our eyes, the eyes of our leaders, to see the root causes of all these social ills that are in our society, and stop those who seek to destroy what Thou hast instituted. O faithful God in heaven, let us witness Thy mercy. Let us witness that Thou art the God who hearest prayer, that Thou wilt arise in our day once more to show that Thou art truly the Almighty, and that no devil and no demons and that no multitude of followers of Him have any power against the King of Kings. Lord, so arise, we beg Thee, and have mercy upon us, and do it for Thy own name's sake, for Thy covenant's sake. For the dark places of the earth, O God, are full of the habitations of cruelty. And who alone can bring the light and break the power? We lay it before Thee, Lord, with great liberty. For Thou didst not create this world in the way that we make it, but Thou alone art the one able to recreate it to what it used to be. And so we lift up any of our MPs with any conscience and any biblical wisdom to stand up courageously, to be as a Daniel, as a Nehemiah, or as a Wilberforce. Even our own MP, John Hayes, we lift him up, Lord. Give him courage to continue to speak up also in the representative position he has, but above all, in the representative position of Thee and of Thy word. And so we pray Thee, faithful God, that Thou bless all Thy people in this nation with the fire from above, that the Christian witness and the Christian values carried out in the lives of Thy people may characterize our walk, and that we may be as a bright light and as a salty salt in this crooked world. We confess, O God, and we lament it, that the men of the world often come to the conclusion that to be a follower of Jesus is only a different form of misery than theirs. And let it never be what we show in our walk and talk and relations and attitudes with one another and towards them. Enable Thy people also in this congregation to be living joyful lives, full of humility, real love, tenderness of heart, and a winsome and an attractive walk of godliness and Christlikeness. That so, O God, we may truly be as an irresistible power by Thy Spirit within this lost and hurting world. And the needs are endless. And the aspects of our society, O God, they are so full of needs and we cannot meet them. But use us, every little drop that we can give, will Thou help us to give it. And may that be a blessing. And O God, as we then think about our own needs and our church family, then we may thank Thee. Thou hast kept us from so much evil, so much harm, so much dysfunctionality, that so many, if not most, grow up in this country, at the present at least. We thank Thee for our church family, that Thou hast planted this congregation, Thou hast grown it and maintained it and nurtured it. And in each fruit that in this church may be seen, O Lord, we may contribute it all to Thee. The fruit of love and the fruit of patience, the fruit of self-denial and faith and service and gentleness. It is all only Thy work and to Thy honor. And Thou art the author of every single grace that we may have shown. And we pray, Lord, that Thou also wilt discover us more and more to our own lack, that we may seek to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray indeed for that blessing, that Thou would visit this vine of Thy planting, that Thy abundant and gracious showers of Thy Holy Spirit be poured out upon this portion of Thy vineyard. Empower, O God, and enrich us as spiritual leaders in the preaching, in the reading, in the teaching, in the guiding of the congregation. Help us all in our individual offices and use us as instruments, O God, through whom Thou wilt stretch out Thy hand to heal. That this place may indeed be shaken with the Holy Spirit's presence. And that we may go forth out of this place, as it were, with a flame of fire on our heads, full of the power and the love and the grace of Thy Spirit. Enrich us, O God, through Thy preaching and through the Bible studies and through all the teaching that may take place. And bless each one of these groups with the leading of Thy Spirit. And mature Thou those within those groups to the potential of leadership, to be a blessing to the rest of the group. We pray that Thou would provide us with a new pastor in the future, a man after Thine own heart, to feed us with the knowledge of the Word and to open up new pastures of the Word of God to this congregation. Thou knowest what is needed. And we lay that before Thee in all the boldness of faith, as Thou, Lord, hast promised, send forth builders from afar also into this church. Let the sowing of Thy seed become as the forest of Lebanon. O God, put to shame the devil and let him suffer defeat in every effort to hinder and destroy and divide the congregation. We pray, O Lord, be as a wall of fire as Thou hast promised round about Thy spiritual temple. Unite us even more in heart and mind to stand shoulder and shoulder behind Thee, the captain of salvation. Add new hearts, O God, to surrender to Thee, that more may be followers and imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ, that children and men and women may come to love Thee more than anyone else and anything else. Touch the unsaved within our congregation. O God, prepare our young children for Thyself. Give them early such a taste for Thee and for godliness that they forever be spoiled for this world. O God, raise them up for great service in Thy kingdom in whatever occupation Thou art pleased to use them. We plead also that Thou open up again the Lansdowne Court so that Thy word may be shared in song and speech and strengthen so the work of Thy salvation. fill thy people with all joy and peace in believing, that they may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We pray for our marriages, O God. We pray that thou wilt protect and enrich our marriages, that thou wilt turn each marriage into a fruitful field for thy kingdom. We plead for the barren wombs in our midst. Thou wilt visit such who long for children with the blessing of children. But thou also wilt fill our homes which may have children with the Holy Spirit, O God. Turn our families into these many seminaries of thy spiritual kingdom. Bless us as fathers and mothers to train up our children the way they should go. For thou hast promised that when they are old, they shall not depart from it. Nourish them, O God, from their early age in the knowledge of thee, in the hatred of sin. We pray that thou wilt bless our friendships and our daily interactions with people of our world and neighbors and work. Use us as instruments with fellow students at university, or even use us to speak or to touch our lecturers, our teachers, in those places. Lord, we pray for our single members longing for companionship in marriage. And we pray that thou would guide our youth and these young people in the making of wise choices, not only in their relationships, but also in their callings in which they pursue their teaching or their studying. We lift up those that are studying away from home and church. O Lord, will thou please anchor them to thyself while they are surrounded perhaps with different teachings and with tempting situations. O be thou a guard around them. And above all, grant us also this mind of Agur and the blessings thou hast taught us through his prayer this evening. Whatever thou knows we need to raise our family, to support our children, and to care for the needy. Teach us, O God, to live by thy precepts and thy promises. Bless thou the labors that we may do in our shop, in our offices, on our farms, and in the workplaces that thou hast placed us. Bless us, Lord, with the sun and the rain and the growing season again, that we may provide and be provided for. Uphold especially those who are surrounded with worldliness in their work, in the songs and in the talk and in the magazines and in all the pressure and stress that is daily upon their minds. And, O faithful God, will thou so preserve thy word in the midst of all these circumstances of our daily life. We give thee thanks for our school and for the wonderful provision and care that thou hast given over the years. And we may bless thee, but also seek thee for the help for the BOT and the BOP and for the staff and the teaching and the office and other support roles. And there's a great need at this moment. And Lord, may we also lay it with boldness again before thee, especially a need for an English teacher in that critical subject. May someone suitable for this position hear thy call and may also have the grace to follow that call. For thou knowest, Lord, what we need, and we plead with thee undeservedly. In our thoughts and prayers, we also include those that are weakened by age of our brothers and sisters in this congregation that cannot be with us. Every Sunday, Julie is missing. Often, Mark is missing. And others, Lord, perhaps more often also missing, that are not able to come. Although remember them as they are weakened by health issues or age and unable to be here. Pray for Shane in the prison, and Arendt in Christchurch prison, and all those who are with them. O God, may it please thee also to bless them there and to use them as a blessing. We pray for Grace Yeats and her family. We pray for the family of Wright that buried their child on Monday. And now, Lord, as the deep grief also is going to settle in, oh, Thou bring the right people on their pathway to direct them to that only hope and that only comfort in life and death. And Lord, so we have laid a whole list of petitions before Thy throne, and we know none of them are too big for Thee. None of them, for Thou art the Almighty. None of them are worthy of. We've laid them before us, Lord, because they were suggested to our hearts today and in the days past. And we trust that Thou would feed us with the food that is convenient for us in the season ahead. Hear our prayer, dear Lord, and teach us all to put our trust in Thee for this life and for the life to come. Bless also our dear friend Sam, as you could join us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.